and there's a time for peace. Now look at verse 11, if you will. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he put eternity into the hearts of men, into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Well, if you look at those verses, there's a lot of obvious things that stick out, but I just want to talk to you about a couple. The first thing you need to see is that everything changes. If you look at the list of a time to gather, a time to throw apart, you know, a time to heal, a time to be sick, a time to die, a time to be born. If you look at all of that, it seems random by its nature. It doesn't really fit together. Well, he puts just a bunch of these examples in there to illustrate the point that everything changes. So if you're in a great spot right now, I got news for you. Changes are coming. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the average. Change happens. It happens all the time. If you're in a spot where, man, the job is great, the family's great, I wish I could tell you that was going to last forever. But I would be not telling you the truth. Because guess what? Things change. Now, here's the good news. Some of you are in a bad season. Man, you're in a spot where if it can go wrong, it has gone wrong, and you're wondering, how long will I be there? I've got great news for you. Not forever. Why? Because things change. God orders times and seasons. Everything changes. Now, these changes are rarely convenient. I mean, if think about all the changes that have happened in your life. It's rarely convenient. Have you ever had a convenient car wreck? I mean, really, have you ever just had a car wreck and said, man, I'm glad it happened today. It fits right into my schedule. You know, boom. I mean, just never. Kids getting sick. You remember when your kids were small and they got sick? Now, you know, of course, being a preacher, they always got sick Saturday night or Sunday morning. Always. Couldn't be Monday. Couldn't be Monday. It had to be Sunday or Saturday night. There's never a convenient time for change. So you're sitting here today, you go home this afternoon, and change happens. Here's what I know is true. It's not convenient. It just isn't. So here's what we got to learn. And here's what you learn when you get your chest cracked open. Change happens, and it's never convenient. It's just going to happen. Now here's another thing that's true about change, and Solomon implies it here by not addressing it. You know, sometimes when things are not addressed in Scripture, it's making a point. And I want you to notice, nowhere in all these changes does it show God consulting Solomon on the changes. Do you notice that? God doesn't consult. So here's the next idea. When change comes into your life, it's going to come without God consulting you. Da, 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 da. Hey, anybody, how many of you think God should consult you? Anybody with me on that? I mean, honestly, don't you think God should consult you before he changes? Well, he doesn't. And he's not going to consult you. Change is going to happen, and it's going to happen without God consulting you and getting your input. Now, that's not always good. I mean, sometimes when we pray, I don't know about you, but I'll say about me. Sometimes when I pray, what I'm really doing is lecturing God on how he should run his world. Anybody ever find their prayers like that? You know, I'm sort of praying, but I'm giving God guidance. Okay, God, I know you're creator of the universe. However, here's what I need to be saying. Boom, 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 boom. God doesn't take advice or guidance. Here's what you learn when you're laying in the hospital. Change comes, and you're not consulted. It just happens. Now, that is the hard, crass, existential reality of life. It is going to slap you in the head, and it's not going to consult you before it does. It's just true. Now, yeah, you can do something with that. You can ignore it. That's fine. It's still going to happen. You can get mad. Not sure the benefit of that, but you can get mad, right? Or you can embrace it and understand that when everything changes, the good, the bad, and the average, it is not going to be convenient, and you're not going to be consulted. But here's the other thing that Ecclesiastes says in the very first verse. God's appointed the change. It says that God's made everything beautiful in verse 11 in his time. Everything is beautiful in its time. Everything is purposeful in its time. Everything makes sense when you get a few years behind you. Have you ever gone through something and you just believe, man, I don't know, maybe it was a relationship breakup, maybe it was a health issue, maybe it was a job change, but you sat there and you go, this is never going to make any sense. There is no way this is going to make sense. There's no way this is going to be good. There's no way this is just bad. It's always been bad. It's always going to be bad. Have you ever had that? But then a few years go by. A few years go by. And what happened in those few years? You gain perspective. And you look back and you go, oh, maybe it's still wrong. Maybe you still don't like it. But it begins to make a little bit of sense. The Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in his time. In his time, it's going to make sense. Now, God's in charge. Now, it was hard for me to sort of figure out. I'm not real smart, but I'm sort of this smart. It was hard for me to figure out when you're laying there getting your chest sawed open that that's a beautiful thing. Anybody with me on that? I mean, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, okay, they're sawing my chest open, and yet I know what the Bible says, that God's appointed this time. I want to pass. I want to pass on this one. But guess what? You don't get to. You don't get to pass. Everything changes. What have I learned? Everything changes. Hold on to what you have now. Appreciate what you have now. If you don't think everything changes, have a child. Parents? How fast does it change? How fast does it change, parents? In a minute, it changes. And it changes profoundly. It changes. Never really convenient. You know, when they call for money, it's never convenient. There was an article in the paper many years ago my dad showed me before I went off to college. And it was written about kids going off to college. And it was a funny little thing. The son's away at school, and he writes his dad and begins the letter by saying, "Dear Dad, I'm in an English class and learning poetry, and I want to try to express to you my dire straits in a poem." And he writes, "Dear Dad, no mon, no fun, your son." His dad wrote back, "Son, I took English in college too. Too bad, so sad, your dad." Never convenient. Change is just never convenient. It comes into your life, changes things, shifts things, but God is always in charge. Even in the midst of surgery, job change, relationship changes, God is still in charge. Rest in the reality that time will bring perspective and perspective will bring peace. Rest in that truth. That'll come into your life. Well, the second thing we learn if you look at the text. If you look at the text, these examples that Solomon gives are extreme examples. Look at what he says. Now, there's a time to be born and a time to die. That's extreme. There's no middle ground there. Birth and death can't get more opposite than that. Look at what else he says. There's a time to plant, but then there's a time to tear up what you planted. Extremely opposite. There's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. I would say that's pretty opposite, right? Extremely opposite. There's a time to break down, time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance. Extreme opposites. Here's what Solomon is saying to us. He is saying that change sometimes comes at us in extreme leaps, not necessarily in small graduated steps. Sometimes change comes in extreme leaps. You go from here to here in 1,000 miles a second, and it just is hard. Wouldn't it be nice if God gave us a flow chart on change? Wouldn't y'all love a flow chart? I mean, that says, okay, here's your life. in the first 3 years, this is going to happen. The next few years, this is going to happen. Next few years, okay, this is going to get rough. But you can see it on the flow chart, and then you can see down here, oh, it's going to get better, and you're going to be happy. And, you know, and wouldn't it be great if God gave us a flow chart? Yeah, he doesn't. No flow chart. It doesn't happen. But change can come in extreme leaps. If you'd have told me 5 years ago that I was going to have open heart surgery and have 4 bypasses, I'd have called you crazy. I would have been wrong, because extreme changes happen. Some of you walk down an aisle and you pledge to someone, I'm going to love and be committed to you forever. And they walked out on you. You didn't plan that. You didn't welcome that. You didn't want that. That's an extreme change. Some of you have worked hard at your job. And you've worked hard and you've worked hard. You've worked smart. You've been a great employee or boss. But now the company's sold. They've downsized. They've changed. And guess what? You're now having to leave your job 5 years, 10 years before you wanted to. Extreme change. Some of you have entered retirement stage. And you thought, man, I'm in a retirement. I'm going to do all the stuff I've always wanted to do. But now your health is struggling. Your money gave out. And you're debating that you might have to go back to work. Extreme change. It happens that way. When we have these extreme changes, we got to understand it's going to be shocking to our system. It's going to shock us. When an extreme change comes into your life, you are absolutely going to be shocked. I can remember we were living in Dayton, Ohio, and we had Madison, we had Carson. And Renee, I had sort of talked a little bit about maybe a third child. I mean, not a whole lot, but a little bit. I come home from work one day late, come upstairs. We had like a loft thing that where our bedroom was, and I crawled into bed. It was cold. It was in the winter. It was in Ohio. And she rolled over and she said, well, I've got some news for you. Husbands, go to the bathroom during that time. Just leave, right? Because this is not going to be good. So she rolls over. I guess I got something to tell you. And I said, okay, we're going to have another baby. Don't do what I did. How is that possible? Don't do that. That is dumb. Don't do it. You're going to get in trouble. She's not going to let you forget it. Just don't do it. Just be quiet. So, it was shock to the system. And then Parker showed up. I love my son. He has made our life interesting. And we love him for that so much. So change happens. And it can be extreme change. And it can shock your system. Sad, isn't it? That it takes laying on the table, getting your chest sawed open, before what you know intellectually becomes something that impacts you daily. Sometimes it takes that. At least it does with me. I'm a little slow on the uptake. Then finally, on this idea that of extreme leaps, these changes will force us to make more changes. These changes will lead us, if we're clear and careful, to make more changes. Changes that are profound and prayerfully godly and prayerfully honoring his word. These changes will absolutely, absolutely make us change. And for me, it led into verse 11. Let me read it to you one more time. Verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Everyone in this room knows that we're on the clock. Everyone gets that. This is not a newsflash. I'm not going to win a Nobel Prize for that, right? Everybody gets it. We're on the clock. But here's what we're really good at. We're really good at ignoring that until something happens that forces us to look at it. 4 weeks ago, I had no new revelation about I could die and check out at any time. Knew that, theoretically. But I had a picture now. I had a clear picture of how it could happen. That changes everything, to be sure. And when you're laying there not knowing how long, I had one person tell me all the morbidity table rates and all of that. I just tried to get that out of your head because it is not encouraging, right? You try to get that out of your head. But you have to learn that God put eternity in our heart for a reason. Here's what I know. Everybody in this room gets the fact that eternity's coming. And you also get this. You're going to be dead longer than you're alive. You get that. You have to be trained and taught and educated not to believe that eternity is coming. That is a learned response. C.S. Lewis said this, that man is born with a universal conscience. And that conscience is given to us by God. So we naturally reach upward and outward to Him. And man in its natural state believes and knows there's something bigger than him. They get it. They know it. There's something bigger than you. There is an eternity that is forever. And you get it in your natural state, unless you've been educated out of it, that when you die here, you go somewhere. There is something next. Every natural civilization has that. Scripture tells us, Solomon says, God placed eternity in your heart so you understand that there is something coming when this life is over. Now, we're really good at busying ourselves to ignore that fact. Somebody says, money can't buy happiness. And it's true, it can't, but it does buy distractions. Money can absolutely buy distractions. You can have enough money that you can distract yourself from the things that matter most, from the impending change in reality that is coming to your life and to mine, and that is our life is going to end. Do you know what I learned 4 weeks ago? My life is going to end. It's going to end. I hope not today. At least not in front of all of y'all. That would freak you out, right? I don't want to drop dead. Oh, I was at church, out of church. Oh, yeah, the preacher died. You know, a little bit exciting. I don't want that to happen. But here's the deal. Eternity waits for all of us. No one gets a pass on that. No one gets to check out. No one gets to say, oh yeah, well, eternity is for you and you and you, but not me. Eternity waits for all of us. So what kind of change has this change brought in my life? I'll share it with you. I mean, we're family, right? So I'll just share it with you. I know every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. God doesn't promise me tomorrow. I get tomorrow when I wake up, hit the ground, and I'm breathing air. That's when I know I have tomorrow. God doesn't promise that. Second, life moves pretty fast. It goes by pretty quick. And it doesn't wait for anyone. Because of that, it is mandated on rational, Christian, aware people. So if you consider yourself rational, Christian, and aware, it is mandated on us then to reprioritize our lives. Our priorities are wrong in America. Our priorities in the American church oftentimes are wrong. So let me tell you how this has changed me. Because I love you, and I like you, right? I have to speak the truth to you, even though you don't like it. Now, here, let me tell you what's going to happen with that. Some of you are going to test it, check it out with Scripture, see if it's of the Lord, and you're going to incorporate it into your life, and the Holy Spirit's going to change you. That's going to happen with some of you. Some of you are going to pray that this heart conditions results in shorter sermons. I might preach long just because I can. No, I'm not going to do that. That would be rude. But some of you will sort of stay where you are. Some of you will leave and not come back. And I love you. I love you when you came in today. I love you if you leave. And guess what? I'll love you if you come back. That's just not going to change. I hope you'll stay. But because God, in his good pleasure, according to his providence, brought change in my life, that change has changed the way I interact with you. I have to be honest with you. I have to be. I have to be clear, so there's no misunderstanding. I have to be candid, because sometimes the truth needs to slap us in the head. Have you ever needed slapped in the head?
Never.
Yeah. I have. So that's change one. Change two. I know that that I'm on the clock. So the rest of my days, I want to spend it doing what matters most. What matters most for me, maybe not for you, but for me, what matters most is to use my gifts and abilities the way God's put them together to advance the gospel in his kingdom in the hearts and the lives of people. There'll be more on that later. We're going to talk about that. There's actually a plan. Hello? I actually have a plan. Sort of been working that plan for a couple of years, but you know, when they cut your chest open, you tend to accelerate plans. Anybody with me on that? I mean, when you know time's coming to an end, you sort of run a little faster. So we're going to run a little faster. And so that's going to be sort of be where we are. And you'll get a chance to be a part of that, I hope. I hope you'll choose to. And then finally, I'm going to do my best, and you have my word, to keep eternity in front of you all the time. God put it in your heart, and so God may use me to keep it in your mind. Because eternity waits for no one. And God loves you. And God cares about you. And God wants to use you to do unbelievable things for his kingdom in the way that he's put you together. Not the way he put me together, that'd be sort of weird. But by the way he puts you together, that's how he wants to use you, because he loves you that much. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes, everything changes. He tells us that these changes can be extreme. And he also tells us that eternity is coming for all of us. And that really matters most. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Pray with me, if you will. Just want to ask you a couple questions. You respond the way you want to or not. We would never be rude and enforce things. That's not who we are. How many of you would say over the last year, you've experienced some pretty big shifts, pretty big changes? Just lift up your hand. I've experienced some big changes the last year. Any of you? Yeah, a lot of you. Right. How many of you would say, I really need the Holy Spirit to help me through these changes because I want to go through them right? Would you agree with that? Okay. I'm going to pray for you guys in just a minute. Next. Change is coming. It's not a threat. It's a reality. Are you ready? How do you get ready? Be in God's Word on a regular basis. Be a person who has an active life of prayer. Be in fellowship with other believers who have been through what you're going through to help you get through it. There are people ahead of you in this room as far as experiences, and they would love nothing more than to help you when change comes into your life. But you have to be connected. So I want to encourage you to connect. So just think for a minute. Pray for a minute. Lord, Solomon is right. Your word is right. Change comes. Everything changes. Help me be ready for the changes that come in my life. Help me get ready for it. Well, Father, so many people said changes happened over the last year, and Holy Spirit, they need your guidance and your help in this situation. Lord, I pray you'll help them. Holy Spirit, let them know that you will attend very closely to their needs, that you love them so very much. Father, move them to your word, because Holy Spirit, you will bring that word alive in their life. Move them closer to your word. Lord, for those who say, hey, you know, change is okay, not really a lot of shifts right now, but I know it's coming, and I want to be ready. Father, stir within the desire for your word, for your truth, for your fellowship here at Grace, to connect with life groups, Sunday school, ministry teams. Father, draw them closer. Help them connect. And now finally, Lord, most importantly, there's someone here today that doesn't know you personally. It's Lord and Savior Jesus. I pray you will awaken within them faith to believe even right now. Lord, if they're depending on religion, it'll fail them. If they're depending on good works, it'll fail them. Father, I pray that if someone is here today without you, that they will come, and they will come in prayer, leaning on your grace and on your work, Jesus, your finished work on the cross for them. Father, you will change their lives forever. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. At this time, I want to invite those who are helping serve communion to come forward, please. Come on up. While they're coming, I'll talk to you a little bit about communion. We do communion here at Grace first Sunday of every month. So glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. We practice here what's called open communion. What does that mean? That means if you're a Christian, if you know Christ, you're welcome at the table of communion. In just a minute, we're going to have a time where we pray and confess our sins to the Lord. And so we encourage you to do that. Because 1 Corinthians 11 says, some people have become sick and some have even died because they've come to the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner. So, I want to encourage you to do that. What do we believe about communion? We do not believe that the elements transmute. We don't believe they change. What we do believe, and this is consistent with church doctrine throughout the last 1700 years, we agree with the Wesley boys, John and Charles. We agree with John Calvin and John Knox that the Spirit of God hovers closely during the time of communion. So when you come to the table in just a minute, you are going to be encountering the Lord in a spiritually significant way that is unlike anything else we do in the church. And so we invite you to come forward in just a minute and encounter the Lord in a new and a fresh way. Now we offer two modes of communion. One is the cup method. Many of you were raised with that. There's two cups. Make sure you get both of them. And once you do, you take those and go back to your seat. And when you're there, partake of the elements. The other way is intinction. That's where you get a piece of bread and you dip it in the cup. Do that and then partake of the elements as soon as you can. So, and we offer those methods because we are a non-denom church. And we know people come from different traditions and how they receive communion. So we want to make that available to you to be sure. Stand with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we will come to the table. Well, Father, we come to you now confessing our sins. Lord, first we want to confess the sins of commission, those sins that we willingly did that we knew were wrong. Just take a minute and confess your sins to the Lord there where you are. And now, Father, we bring the sins of omission, those things we knew and know that are right to do, but we didn't do them. Now confess any sins of omission you may have. As we remain in a spirit of prayer, let me read to you 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says this: For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you that 1 John 1:9 is true. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you that that is a reality and a truth. So, Lord, we know if we've confessed our sins, we come to the table forgiven. And we thank you for that. Jesus, I pray we come to the table celebrating. Celebrating your life given so we can go to heaven. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. Lord, I pray that as people come to the table, if they are burdened and weighted down with cares and concerns, that Holy Spirit, you move in and speak to them in a clear way. Father, if there are health issues, that you would move in and bring healing. Lord, if there are relational issues, you will bring wisdom and perspective and understanding. Lord, we just pray that you move in power during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come to the table.
Rescue begin, come find your mercy. Oh sinner, come kneel, 'cause earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. Right. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. This earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are.
We don't want to rush you. Has anyone not received the elements who would wish to do so this morning?